So who was ever told by their mother not to play with fire? Was it just me? We went on a men's walk a number of years ago, and we walked the, what's that trail that goes from Perth to Albany? Bibbulmun Track. We went on the Bibbulmun Track. We did about, 10 Ks of that or some ridiculous amount of time. Why you walk when you've got a car? I have no idea. But we did this walk as men. And there was a guy that used to come to our church. He's moved up to Karratha now. His name is Rodney Gethin. So this is going on podcast. So Rodney, if you're listening, Rodney decided that it would be a great idea, a bunch of men out in the bush, what could possibly go wrong? He decided he was going to light up a grass tree. You know what a grass tree is? Yeah. There's some knowing looks in the congregation. Rodney thought it would be a great idea, so he got some inflammatory type material and he lit this grass tree up, and it was just burning over the whole place. What could possibly go wrong? I thought in that moment, there's sparks going everywhere. Rodney was having a great time. Me as a responsible person on site, not so much. But that's the thing about fire. We know this in Australia, don't we? We know how out of control fire can get. And we know, don't we? We know as Australians how damaging fire can be to life and to limb. We've seen some horrific bushfires which have threatened life and limb, in fact taken life and limb and destroyed families and homes. It is an incredibly potent force, a reaction. Oxygen and chemicals and all this other stuff that happens. And so then when we get to the Bible and we see all these different analogies of the Holy Spirit, and we see water and we see river and we see helper and advocate, and then we see the Holy Spirit as a burning fire. My God is a consuming fire. We read in the book of Acts chapter 2, how is the Holy Spirit demonstrated as he comes in power and in force upon the early church in that upper room? How is he seen? As tongues of fire over the early church. Even our whole theme this month, chain reaction, starting with a fire that burns. And here's the thing about fire, it can so easily get out of control and it can so easily burn. And what do we know of God? Just by very definition, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. He spoke a word. He just spoke a word and creation came into being. Omniscient, omnipotent, Alpha, Omega, from the beginning and the end. All-powerful, all-knowing God. But here's the mind-blowing aspect of what we're talking about this morning, and our focus this morning, is that you, every single person here this morning, you actually have within you the capacity, the power, the authority to stop God. Have you ever thought about that before? You, by virtue of choices that you make, can stop God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. That tells us, just by reading that, that there is something that you can actually do to hinder, to alter, to change God's work in your life. It's a very interesting word. I love words and I love unpacking words. This word quench, in both the original language as written here and in the English, actually has two meanings, both of which are relevant, one perhaps more than the other, but both. So the first, perhaps, meaning of the word quench, do not quench the Spirit. When you are thirsty, and maybe you've been working hard, maybe you've been sweating, you need a glass of water to quench your thirst. Isn't that interesting in this context? Talking about the Holy Spirit, Do not quench the Spirit. There's a thirst about God. There's a desire that God has for you. There's a hunger that He has for you. The reckless love of God. He knocks walls down. He pursues you. There's a passion there, isn't there? There's a desire that He has to work in your life. There is an incredible, insatiable desire that God has to be at work in your life. And I wonder sometimes if we want to stop that. We actually want to quench that. The other aspect of this word quench is to put a fire out, to take that glass of water and to throw it over a flame and to put the flame out. The most interesting aspect of this piece of scripture for me is the fact that Paul is saying to the Thessalonian church, you make a choice and do not, which is a command, which means therefore you have a choice, do not quench the Spirit. You don't put the Spirit's fire out. The most amazing thing about that for me is the supposition that in fact we can. But if it's not a command, then you don't have a choice. Well, it is a command and you have a choice. Do not quench the Spirit. You, every soul sitting here, do not make the decision to put the Spirit's fire out. That's fascinating. That is confronting. That is incredibly challenging. Just the idea, the notion that in fact you could do that. You have the capacity to do that, which leads to and begs the question then, how do you do that? How do you put the Spirit's fire out? Well, let's open up the context of the passage of the scripture that we're looking at, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 to 21. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. I am not, and I applaud those that are, I'm not the sort of person that has a very regular, set, ordered devotional time. I think God makes us all in different ways. I love to open up my scriptures in the morning. I love to think about God before I go to sleep at night. I wish I was more regular and disciplined about that. I'm working on that. I don't know where you're at with that. Some people are very ordered and they have a very set way of doing things and that works for them. That is fantastic. So the idea then that he says here to never stop praying, to me it's like, really? You want me to never stop praying? I find it hard to get up and pray regularly as it is, and now you're telling me to never stop praying? What I think he means here actually is actually to be in that continual state, even throughout the whole day, where you're just aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. You know, when Pastor Jess was preaching the other week, and it was such a profound message, and she was talking about how the Holy Spirit, His presence is actually with us all the time. It's like, I'm still here, I'm still doing what I need to do, but His presence is there for me to access. You know, when you just find yourself and you're driving along and something happens or something stressful happens, or you find that you actually are doing something which is beyond your own capacity, there's not the need in that moment to stop the car, to get down upon the bended knee, to get out your prayer book or whatever it is. There's no need for any of that. In fact, the presence of God is actually within you, accessible to you at all moments of your life. I think what Paul is actually saying here is just be aware that God is with you at every moment. There is never a moment that He's not there. And even if you have forgotten that He's there, He's actually still there. Don't forget, He's with you all the time. He's never left you. Be thankful in all circumstances. Coming to God and coming to our life with a spirit of thankfulness. The reality is for some and for perhaps even many people in this church, even right now, you know, anxiety, depression, sadness, these are all things that you struggle with. And so for me to come here and to say to you, well, be thankful in all things, be happy and joyful all the time, that's actually not your reality. Yet for many of us, being thankful is actually a choice. And making that choice to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It is very easy to get caught up in our own little world and to forget how blessed we are. When I get up in the morning, one of the things I do, I say to God, I'm just thankful for today. I'm just thankful for this very day. Even when confronting circumstances happen, and even when I'm having to deal with something that is painful. I was talking to someone the other day about a very painful episode in my life, a moment where I had been embarrassed, and in fact where it had been very difficult for me. I wonder if you've ever been in that situation, a very painful circumstance, maybe even a circumstance where you're in conflict with family, you're in conflict with those people that you love and that are around you. I wonder if you can talk about circumstances where something really awful has actually happened. You know, I said to my friend, I'm actually thankful for this embarrassing and painful time, as not taking away the embarrassment, not taking away almost the shame that I felt, but I'm actually thankful because in this moment, the Lord is actually teaching me stuff. And he's actually humbling me. Being thankful in all circumstances. It's not easy. But waking up in the middle of the day, and I want you to try this. I want you to try this. Just wake up. Lord, thank you for this day. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle. Isn't it interesting how different translations use that word? Stifle. Push down. Ignore. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. We can actually stifle the Holy Spirit. You can actually, God's presence wants to break out. God wants to do something incredible. And you can actually put a wet blanket over God. You can actually put a wet blanket over the fire of God. Imagine if I had a fire on this stage right now. And I took one of those blankets, those fire protection type blankets, and I just put it over the fire. That's the thought there that he has. How do you do that? Oh, I told you I love words. I love this word. Do not scoff. What do you think of when you think of someone that scoffs? Do you remember the story of David and Michal? If you don't know the story or haven't had it brought to your mind, here's King David. He's got the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's presence. And he is so thankful that he has this Ark of the Covenant. He is so thankful that he's finally bringing it into the city of David, into the city of the king. So grateful is he that he calls this massive big party, and he himself, as king of the nation, finds himself dancing exuberantly before the Lord. So overcome is he with thankfulness and the presence of God, and it's an amazing circumstance. God is coming into the city, and I just want to celebrate and I want to break out in song. And the scriptures tell us that from the terraced house overlooking the street, which David and the procession as they came into the city, was his wife, Michal. And the scriptures tell us that she looked down upon that celebration and she scoffed. I would never let myself lose control like that. How ridiculous does David look? Who are you? Challenging thought, isn't it? Who are you in that story? Who do you naturally resonate with? If you're being honest, I'm not asking for hands raised, but who are you in that story? Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. Interesting word, prophecy. Two meanings. foretelling and forthtelling. I think both are actually applicable here. Foretelling, as in a preacher or someone that has a word from God, maybe someone sharing a communion thought, will get up and they will say, you know what, as a people of God, as a community of God, we need to get on with this. This is important. And the prophets did that in the Old Testament. They basically would exhort, encourage, maybe even tell off the people. Come on, let's get it together. This is not good. This is not how it should be. Second thought, foretelling, where perhaps the Holy Spirit, and this happens too, and I believe this even happens today, where people will receive from God a word, a sense, a place, a vision that they believe God is taking them to. God is giving them information which goes beyond the ordinary, information which perhaps they have no right to know, supernatural information. I don't believe that stopped. I believe God still speaks through dreams and visions and thoughts and words. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've experienced it myself, where God has just placed in me just a sense of something that goes beyond my own knowledge. If we don't believe in a supernatural God, then what are we doing here? If we don't believe in a God who intervenes, then what are we on about? Because our God is real. He's a burning fire. And I know there are people that are here this morning that could tell stories about how God had revealed to them stuff they had no right to know about. Now, it's easy to sit back and say, no, no, I'm going to ignore all that. It's easy to look back and say, well, God doesn't speak that way. God doesn't work in this way. He doesn't work powerfully anymore. That was for a time that has gone past. That's scoffing. That is quenching. That is stifling. The Holy Spirit wants to come into your life, and I reckon He even wants to come into our church, and He wants to come into your life even today and in the weeks to come, and He wants to give you words of life. He actually wants to tell you stuff. He actually wants to show you stuff. He wants to show you stuff about your life and about things that are happening around you. He wants to reveal truth to you and situations to you. He wants to give that to you, to you. Every single soul, if we have a heart that is open, a heart that is warm, a heart that wants to stir that flame up, then that will come. If we have a heart, this is the whole thing about the control aspect. This is the whole thing about the choice you have, because you actually have got a choice. No, I am not receiving that. That is not for me. That's embarrassing. That's awkward. That is outside of my paradigm. Well, that's your choice. Instead, I want to be hopeful. I want to believe in a God that intervenes. I want to believe in a Spirit of God that speaks to me and comes alongside me, that is my helper, my advocate, that brings me discernment, that brings me insight beyond my... I can't live this life around my own strength. I can't live like that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't have what I need. Does anyone else feel that way? I need God. I need His insights. I need His discernment. I need the wisdom that He brings. I'm not going to scoff at prophecies. I am going to test everything that is said. I am going to say, well, does this line up with Scripture? Can I do this? And I am going to hold on to that which is good. I'm not going to be foolish about it. But I'm not going to be a scoffer either. I don't want to stifle the power of the Holy Spirit. And next scripture, 2 Timothy 1, 5 to 8. And this is, I'm even interested in myself why I picked this scripture, but I did pick it for a reason. Because it's actually not specifically talking about the Spirit of God. It's more talking about His giftings. But I love the phrase that He used here, so I'm using it anyway. I remember your genuine faith. This is Paul talking to Timothy. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you, listen to this phrase. This is him encouraging him to do something about the presence of God in his life. That assumes that he can do this. It assumes that Timothy can actually do what he's asking him to do. I want you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, amen, but of power, love, and self-discipline, amen. Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison. What strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Some of you will know that I've got a wood fire at home, which heats up the home. And I wasn't brought up on a farm. I have no idea really about wood. So whenever I can discover something about wood and how to get a fire going, and for those of you who are interested how to smoke meat, I'm very interested in wood, and I'm very interested in how to cook wood. But I don't know much about how to use wood for cooking. I went down to Jarrodale the other week with my mate. I got my little $300 chainsaw out, and we went and we cut down some wood. And I'm watching my friend Ben. He was brought up on a farm in Kojunup. And he's got this rubbish old piece of metal thing, that like an axe, but different. And he's splitting this wood. Woof, 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 woof. And I'm watching him do this just effortlessly. I'm sitting here, bang, 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 bang. So I'm like, Ben, how do you do that? And then I was speaking to Bev Lyon. If you want to know how to crack wood, ask Bev Lyon. She knows how to crack wood as well. Asking her how she splits wood. There's a whole, which I could go into and bore the life out of you all. Sometimes I get a piece of wet wood and it's wet and it's green. But I've got a blazing fire going. And I chuck that bit of wet wood onto the fire. And even though it's wet and soggy and maybe even a bit green, it will still burn up. Ever done that? You can hear the water escaping out of the wood. Hear the water, the sogginess escaping out of that piece of wood. You get amongst a bunch of people that are burning hot, they're on fire for God, where the Spirit of God is working, where the Spirit of God has been fanned into flame. It's very hard for you to sit there and be a stodgy old wet piece of wood. You're going to start to burn. Choose who you do life with really well. Choose who you learn off. Choose who you get close to. Choose who are your, not just your friends, but the people you travel with and the people you journey with. It's very hard to be a wet, and you know it. I don't need to tell you. You know what type of wood you are. You know where you're at with God right now. Fan into flames the spiritual gift God has given you. It's a very interesting thing. I don't have this scripture, but look it up. 1 Corinthians, you can look it up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says this. It says, pursue spiritual gifts. Pursue. Once again, Paul is making the assumption, if he is giving a command, which he is, to pursue spiritual gifts, he is actually saying to us something that runs counter to what I had always thought about spiritual gifts. I don't know about you, but for whatever reason, I had in my mind, well, you become a Christian, then God gives you spiritual gifts at that moment. That's actually not what the scriptures say. What Paul is actually saying there in 1 Corinthians 41 is, if you want a spiritual gifting from God, listen up. If you want a spiritual gifting from God, you should ask. You should pursue that. If you find yourself in a situation where you don't have insight, where you don't have wisdom, where you don't have discernment, where you don't have spiritual insight into a situation, you should ask. You should ask for that. You should pursue that. Paul came along and he gave perhaps to Timothy at that moment. He laid hands on him and he said, you know what, Timothy was probably a timid young guy. You need some power from the Holy Spirit. You need some boldness. I'm going to pray for that. Then he comes along and he says, I've given that to you, but now I want you to stir it up. I want you to get that fire that is within you and make that stuff burn. Are you ever in situations where you are so unsure of yourself and unsure of your faith? We're going to touch on that in a few minutes. If you find yourself in situations where you just don't know what to do spiritually, ask. Ask. Pursue that spiritual gifting. And don't be ashamed to tell others about God. This is our last scripture, Acts chapter 10. And this is so interesting. Do you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power? That's very interesting. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The devil is real, for God was with him. Very interesting piece of scripture. If you know, we know the story of Jesus. For 30 years, he was a carpenter in Nazareth, right? And he was probably a very good carpenter. If you watch the movie The Passion, yeah, okay, he was a good carpenter, right? So, great. As a carpenter, someone just doing that job. Did he need God? Well, yeah, he probably needed God. When he started his ministry, and we've heard this passage a couple of times already, where he was baptized by John the Baptist, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. Listen really carefully. The anointing of God, the anointing of God is not the power of God. The anointing of God is actually God, the Holy Spirit. He was, you know that God, I should be pointing up here. You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. As Pastor Jess preached to us the other week, the Spirit of God is actually within us. When he's within you, then he gives you power. If you've said yes to Jesus, you have been sealed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But there's going to be times where you don't feel that power, where you don't sense that power. There's even times in Jesus' life where he says the power, he felt the power go. Does that mean the Holy Spirit went? No. The power went. He felt the power go, but the Holy Spirit was with him all the time. And here's the incredible thing. We heard this the last couple of weeks. I wanted to say it again. Jesus needed the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life in order to go from being a carpenter to that 3 years of ministry on earth. God needed to anoint him with the presence of the Holy Spirit. If he needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you, do I, do we? We need the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here's the thing. And you don't have to be, I want to make something abundantly clear. You don't have to be a pastor, a worship leader, a chaplain, or anyone working in Christian ministry. You don't need any of that stuff to need the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're a Christian, you are a pastor, a minister, a worship leader, a counselor. Who here in their work situation sometimes has people coming up to them and asking them, my husband's left me, my wife's left me, my kids hate me, I don't know what to do. You're a teacher or you're a mechanic, you're whatever. Someone comes up to you and says, I don't know what to do. What do you say to them in that moment? You're a cabinet maker and you go to someone's house and they pour out their life story to you. What do you say? Do you feel grossly inadequate in that moment? I actually hope you do, in a sense. I actually want you to feel grossly inadequate to know what to say. Because here's the rub. In that moment, you have the resources of heaven at your disposal. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You are anointed. Come on, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit in that moment to share out of the richness and the wisdom of God, and you just need to ask. If you are never in situations, this is a challenge, if you are never in situations where you need God, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. You don't need to be a pastor, a minister, a chaplain, a worship leader, a children's worker. You don't need to be any of that. I reckon every one of us in our daily lives, as we interact with people, if you start to look for those moments, there's going to be moments where you are going to feel woefully inadequate to help someone. And in that moment, Holy Spirit is with you, that you can do good, you can bring healing, you can bring words of life and words of encouragement. If you have never experienced what it means to really hear the voice of God and hear beyond normal, just before the band comes up, actually, just in this moment of quietness, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads, close our eyes. If you want that, if it is your choice that you want more of the Spirit of God, you don't want to quench His power. In fact, you want to know His power beyond what you've known before. I'm going to pray a prayer asking for that. And in that moment, you ask for that. You ask to receive that. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit of God, we who are here this morning are so grateful for your fire that burns within us. We're so grateful, Lord, that your presence has sealed our hearts. There is never a moment where you are not with us. We're ever so grateful for that. But Lord, we do not want to quench your power. We don't want to put that fire out. So right now, here in this moment, if there's anyone that's been a scoffer, if there's anyone that has allowed their own sensibility, maybe even their shame or their guilt, that they would be the ones scoffing. Father, we're sorry. We know your forgiveness is here, and we know that that is not what you want for us. Right here in this moment, Lord, we ask that we would have supernatural enabling, that your Holy Spirit's presence and power would become real to us. I want to pray really specifically for someone here today who's never actually had an opportunity where they felt really inadequate to know what to say. If that's you, you know it's you. I want to pray this week, this very week, that you will have an opportunity where you just don't know what to say. And ever so quickly, you will ask God, and He will give you the words. He will give you the words. I know that. I believe that. If that's you this morning, you receive that right now. Maybe there's more than one. I want to pray for many of us that there will be moments where we feel incredibly inadequate this week. And we believe that your Holy Spirit will in that moment give us words of life, of supernatural knowledge and discernment, that we may encourage and bless someone, that we may bring wisdom into their situation. Father, we believe in breakthrough. We believe in your Holy Spirit. We believe that He will bring to our mind the thoughts we've had this morning. We believe in transformation. We believe that your work in us has just begun, that the best is yet to come. We're so grateful for those that have been ministered to personally and specifically today. We're really grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.